104.5 The Zone's nonstop sports talk continues with a look at Nashville's teams and at news around the nation from the lead writer of 104.5thezone.com. This is
The Big Six.
The Big Six with Jason Martin, presented by Renter's Warehouse.
And here we go.
Straight up 6 o'clock by my watch means it's time for the one and only Big Six here on 104.5 The Zone. Glad to have you with us. I'm Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. Our telephone number, 615-737-1045. My producer, the fabulous Jimmy Harper, spinning the dials radio style for me behind the glass tonight. He's also my gatekeeper, if you call the program. So I said when I was talking to Mickey and Dawn just a couple of minutes ago that basketball is dead, and I'm going to give you something that's just going to put a black cloud over the NCAA tournament before it even starts. Not that it's not going to be a great event, but I'm going to make you wait a little bit longer for that, and we will talk about it in the second segment here tonight. Also, pro and con to finish us up. And yeah, that women's bracket story, that's something. But let's talk about Tennessee off the top and their championship chances. And if you have thoughts on this and have not gotten them out today, or you want to talk to me about them, you can call us at 615-737-1045. But their chances are pretty good. But the problem right now for me watching this Vols club is consistency, or the lack thereof, in this kind of back third, back quarter of the schedule. But I'm going to tell you this. If you watched yesterday and you saw that shellacking by the Fighting Bruce Pearls, that really should not scare you off the Vols if you believe in them for the reasons that you have seen this season. It's not because postseason tournaments don't matter until the big dance, and you can make the argument they're exhibitions or whatever you want to do. But generally speaking, Tennessee had to kill themselves on Saturday to beat Kentucky and barely were able to do that. And I'm not sure they win it if Reed Travis doesn't foul out. Maybe so. But P.J. Washington was playing really good basketball. They went a little bit cold in the second half, they meaning Tennessee. Then they made a trio of threes that really kind of got this job done. It was a great basketball game. That and Duke, North Carolina were two of the better basketball games you're likely to see. It was a tremendous sporting event to watch. And especially outside the big dance, that's one of the best basketball games I've seen on a college level in several years. Now, if LSU was the team that had been waiting for Tennessee after that Kentucky game, I feel like Tennessee would have performed better than they did against Auburn. You can get up to play the number one seed, but the number one seed, and I said this before the tournament began, I said LSU was going out early. In fact, I said Florida would beat them, and Florida did beat them. Not great officiating in that game, but what else is new, especially in the SEC? But LSU, with all that's going on around that program, I actually think if you want to find a 3-14 upset, you can take LSU to get beat again this week. I don't think I will do that, but I don't think they're getting out of the first weekend. As athletic as they are, as talented as they are, I love Naj Reid. I love Smart. I love Waters. I love the way they play. There's just a whole lot around that team that has nothing to do with what's happening on the basketball floor. And I don't know how 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds are prepared to deal with all of that. Maybe they can focus and not have to worry about it, but I don't see that. But if you think about Auburn, Auburn had beaten them 8 days earlier. It's not an excuse that they didn't get up to play Auburn. They should have had plenty on their mind to try and just exercise that loss on senior day down at Auburn, the first top five team that Auburn had beaten since 95. But they didn't. But Auburn didn't have to go through LSU. They didn't have to play Kentucky either. They escaped Florida. Tennessee had to go all out, and I mean all out, to beat Kentucky in a classic. And then they had to show up and play the number five seed the next day. Less than 24 hours later, they played the later game, and they just looked tired. And I'm not making excuses for the Vols here. I'm saying they looked tired. They looked lethargic. They did not look nearly as interested to me. Auburn showed up ready to pound them, believing that they could beat them, and they beat them. when Auburn shoots threes, and that's what they do, that's what they're going to do to a fault. If they're not making them, they're going to lose. If they're making them, they can be very difficult to beat. They are peaking at the right time. They're playing their best basketball of the year right now. They are an incredibly dangerous five seed in this NCAA tournament coming up. I like them a lot. And we'll talk more about why I like them so much when we get to the next segment. But this, you could have predicted this happening. Tennessee beats Kentucky, sends all of that blue back up I-65 north after selling those tickets. And then they have to show up in Nashville in a sea of orange and try to get up for not what they were expecting probably when the week started. And Auburn came in there not maybe expecting to be there. I don't know. Maybe they did not expect that they were going to be in a championship game. You would assume they might have. But Tennessee just didn't show up ready. And with all of that said, Grant Williams has got to be more involved in the offense than he was yesterday. The two-time SEC Player of the Year cannot be passive. Grant Williams has got to be more involved in the offense. And if you remember, sometimes LeBron James would get flack, especially in Cleveland, but also sometimes in Miami. I don't think anybody's really paying attention to LA because he's not really trying to get everybody else involved now. He knows he's got to do it all. But he would get flack for being too unselfish. There would be games and stretches of games, especially remember like the first half, the first three quarters of some Cavs games, key Cavs games, even in playoffs, where he would be just overly unselfish, trying to get other guys involved and not getting his in the process, and then never being able to find any kind of rhythm. I'm not saying Grant Williams was doing that. I'm saying that this team needs Grant Williams to be selfish in a game like yesterday. They are only going to go as far as Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams take them in the end. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you something else. I think the most important player on the floor is Jordan Bone. He is the guy that keeps the offense rolling in terms of the pace. He can push the pace. He's a great handle. He can take good, even great defenders off the dribble. Gets loose down low for a layup. He can kick outside to Admiral in the corner. He can dish or he can make that three himself. Every time back in Knoxville, the first time Tennessee beat Kentucky this year, every time Kentucky would make a little six-point run to try and cut into that advantage, what happened? Jordan Bone hit a three. Defensively, Tennessee worries me because they struggled defending the three. LSU's biggest issue, the biggest issue you will find in the Tigers, and you've seen it all season long, is that they play stellar defense because of their athleticism. They can stay in front of just about anybody until around like the 8-second mark on the shot clock. And then for some reason, they just give up bunnies. They give up easy buckets. It's not that they let up. I'm not exactly sure what it is. But if you watched Tennessee on Saturday, I thought they did a spectacular job on Tyler Hero. They made his life miserable. He was trying so hard to get loose for jump shots beyond the arc, and they just didn't allow it. Now, PJ Washington got his. Other guys got theirs. But Hero was frustrated all day long. Auburn yesterday had multiple shooters on the floor, but they also had a whole lot of looks at those and good looks at the basket. And Tennessee looking lethargic out there, it felt to me like Tennessee left everything they had on the floor on Saturday and just did not have it in them to play on Sunday. And that's not an excuse. You cannot do that against a good basketball team. And that's what Auburn is. Auburn can beat you when you're playing well. Auburn can definitely beat you when you're playing off the mark. They didn't play smart at Auburn, and they lost by 4. Yesterday, they got their butts kicked up and down the floor, offensively, defensively. Horrible turnovers by Tennessee, and those are mental mistakes. Bad passes, passes not thrown with enough mustard on them, the kinds of things that you do when you're either fatigued or you just came off a big high. What happens a lot of times in the NFL after you beat a division leader or beat a team like New England, which is a very rare thing to say, but just as an example, the Patriots, what happens? There's a letdown after that moment. Even if you're playing a decent team the next week, you talk about the trap game before a big game. Well, so often in sports, after a gigantic win, an emotional win, a win that your fan base is just losing their minds about, all of a sudden, the next game, even if it's against a mediocre opponent, and that is not at all what Auburn is, can become Mount Everest for you instead of just a hill. And that's what we saw. And if Auburn makes threes like that, it's going to be very difficult for anybody in the NCAA to beat them. 615-737-1045 is our telephone number. Let's go to Scott in Bellevue before we take our first break. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to see if I could recap the non-excuses here. Tennessee was 10. Auburn played an extra game than Tennessee did. Auburn didn't really shoot all that well either. They shot 43s. They missed 25 of them. They hit 37%, which is about average. Two of their starters didn't score. Two of Auburn's starters didn't score. The tournament MVP, the deadlock cinch, Jared Harper, who carried him for three games, didn't score until there were 57 seconds left. He had his worst game of the year. Anthony McLemore had his worst game of the year. So all these excuses, excuses that I'm hearing, just don't make a lot of sense. Auburn's bench won the game, period. Auburn got 30 points out of the bench. Tennessee's bench, they didn't have a bench. That's basically what it was.
Okay, fair enough. And war eagle to you, Scott. I assume you graduated from Auburn or you like Auburn a lot. I told you, they're not excuses. Auburn outplayed them yesterday. You said they took 43s. I appreciate you teasing my next segment. They also made 15 of them. You said they missed 25. They made 15 of them. Tennessee turned the ball over. You make 15 threes, a lot of times you're going to win games. I said they played them better offensively and defensively. That Tennessee did look lethargic. I don't care that Auburn had to play another game. Auburn didn't have to play a game like Kentucky with the emotional and just the impact and the implications of that game. I'm just saying that Tennessee gave it all they had on Saturday, and it seemed like that was it. It was like that's all they had. Because from the jump on Sunday, they did not look to be in that game. And that's not because they were tired. It's just because emotionally, they felt like that was the final. That's how they played. They played like that was the last game of their lives. And that's why it was such a fantastic basketball game to watch. But congratulations to Auburn. I also just said I think they're going to be tough in the tournament and a very dangerous 5 seed. But all I can do is tell you what I watched. And what I watched was an Auburn team that wanted it. And I know that that's a terrible cliche to say one team wanted it and the other one didn't, because I'm sure Tennessee did want it, but they didn't have it yesterday. So there was no way they were going to be able to take it. But again, Scott, I appreciate what you said about 15 of 40 from three. Up next, the reason why March Madness is going to be obnoxious to watch for all of us that actually like fundamental basketball. I'm going to go old man on you. I did not know I had become Bob Ryan, but apparently that's a thing. We'll be right back. 615-737-1045. Jimmy is there to take your call. Big Six rolls along next here on 104.5 The Zone.
Sports Fest is back at Nissan Stadium, Saturday, March 30th. Find out more at 1045thezone.com.
Welcome back. Big Six here on 104.5 The Zone. I'm Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone. I'm blessed beyond measure. I hope you recognize that you are as well. If you don't, or you're confused by what I just said, DM me at JMartZone. My DMs are open. A little Kurt Vile for you. Check, baby. Off of Bottle It In. Kurt Vile, all music is Kurt Vile tonight. Saw him at the Ryman on Saturday. He tore it up. It's fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about March Madness. And I said at the end of 3HL when I joined them to kind of preview what was coming up tonight that basketball is terrible right now. And that might have been a little bit oversimplified. Let me go into it a little bit more. I have become Bob Ryan. And I did not know that that would be a thing. And that's just in terms of opinion, certainly not in terms of talent and legacy of what Bob Ryan has done throughout his Hall of Fame career. But there's phraseology out there that Steph Curry has ruined basketball. And you saw Golden State Warriors teammates over the years say that's not true at all. And then Draymond Green, of all people, actually came out a couple of weeks ago and said, you know what? I kind of am starting to understand what they're saying. Now Steph Curry ruining basketball is not entirely true, but it's not entirely false either. Here is the problem. There's only one Steph Curry. There is only one guy that can do on a consistent level what Steph Curry does. There are studies, scientific studies, I believe, and there are pieces that have been written over the past couple of years about not just his shooting stroke, but even his body makeup, his bone construction. It's unique. It enables this release and it enables this form on his shot that you can't duplicate. Genetics. And that's not even including the fact that his dad, Dale Curry, is one of the great three-point shooters of all time. And he comes from an athletic background and an athletic family. The NCAA tournament is a terrific sporting event. Bar none, it's about as good as it gets. My favorite sporting events of the year are, surprisingly enough, two golf tournaments, the Masters and the U.S. Open. The Masters because it's the most beautiful thing you can watch on TV, watching Augusta National. The U.S. Open because I love to see those difficult courses and pros struggling, not because it makes you feel like you could compete with them, just because I love seeing the best against just elements that test every bit of their game. And then I love NFL divisional playoff weekend. Not wild card weekend, but the second weekend. Championship Sunday is often pretty good, but I love when you've still got four games, but you've gotten kind of, you've separated the wheat from the chaff when it comes to a couple of wild card teams. But I do love the NCAA tournament. But I'm concerned about something because we're going to see it all week. It's going to start tomorrow. By the way, coverage of the NCAA tournament will be wall-to-wall across 104.5 The Zone. This is the only Big Six this week because there's hoops Tuesday, there's hoops Wednesday, there's hoops Thursday, there's hoops Friday. It's going to be glorious. You will get your fix of me, though, as I will be in on the wake-up zone from 6 to 10 a.m. much of the week, beginning tomorrow with Mark Howard. So you will hear me early in the morning. But this is what you need to prepare yourself for, folks. Every team in the NCAA tournament, basically, is going to go full-on 150% George Costanza. It's going to be a whole lot of chucking threes, just throwing them up there. And that's fine when you're 2018 Villanova, who literally shot everybody out of the tournament en route to a national championship last year. But every single team is going to go up and down the floor for long stretches, trading bricks enough so that you could construct Avengers Tower. I guess maybe Endgame is on my mind right now. And this is sort of the end of basketball to me because this is bad basketball. It is not fun to watch. It can be fast-paced in many respects, but I have somehow become someone who now actually considers the idea not of a four-point line, which has been talked about, not just of backing the college line to match the NBA, and I would say move the NBA back and move the college line back if you're going to do that. But my thoughts have actually become much more that fundamentally sound basketball might become a thing again if the three-point line was eliminated completely. Now, if there's something that you can watch with Zion Williamson, there's a lot to watch with Zion Williamson, as likable a college basketball figure as you're likely to find. Just absolutely electric. But if there's something to watch with Zion as he enters the NBA after whatever is going to happen to Duke in March, and this is something you need to watch for Duke as well. I'm on record. I've said it on my show. I said it on Fox Sports Radio this weekend on the Jason Martin Show. Duke has a real good chance not to make the Final Four because they are a poor, extremely streaky outside shooting team. And I've laid this case out that Duke 2019 is awfully similar to Kentucky 2010. The team that had John Wall, who had no jump shot, Eric Bledsoe, who sometimes could shoot, often could not, Boogie Cousins, who did all his damage in the paint. That team was super talented. Bledsoe's had a good NBA career. Cousins, when he's been able to stay out of his own way, has at times been a borderline all-star player. And we know what John Wall can be when he's healthy, even though maybe not the world's greatest teammate. because Washington has never really been able to do what you thought they would with him and Beal in that backcourt. But Zion does not even have a mid-range jump shot right now. And he's made a couple of threes, but they're few and far between. He's also a poor free throw shooter, around 66% on the season. That win against Syracuse on Thursday in his comeback game, he was 2 for 9 from the line in that game. So he can be hacked to death in this tournament. Honestly, he can be. And then maybe he steps up and makes them. I remember Shaq would make most of the ones that mattered in Los Angeles, but still could not consistently do it. Dwight Howard didn't make many that mattered, and that always held him back. And there are, you know, DeAndre Jordan, another guy. There are guys, big guys, that struggle to make free throws. In 2019, you need to be able to step up and make a decent clip, like an Anthony Davis, for example. Cam Reddish and Barrett, they're not great shooters either. And this is the kind of thing that doomed Kentucky in 2010. You can have a Zion Williamson, and Zion does everything you want, other than the fact that he can't shoot from 15 feet out on a consistent basis. If he develops that shot, he becomes one of the great players we've ever seen when he gets to the NBA. And I'm rooting for him. I want to see it, man. LeBron's getting older. We're going to start to see some of these guys tail off in their careers as age hits them. Zion could be the future of the NBA, but he's got to develop that mid-range game. He's already got a better post game we've ever seen from Dwight Howard. He's got much better handles. He's a great passer. He's unselfish. His character is high. He's got a high basketball IQ. He's fantastic. But he doesn't shoot it well outside of the painted area yet. A lot of his highlight reels are dunk, 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 and some blocks because he plays good defense and he commits on the defensive side of the ball. But Kentucky lost to West Virginia in 2010, did not make the Final Four because they shot threes poorly. So there's any one of these just vastly inferior teams that Duke is going to match up against. When they shoot the lights out from three because they take, remember Auburn took 40 yesterday. That's what Scott in Bellevue said. And I appreciated him setting this up. They made 15 of 40. When they're going down, even at a reasonable clip, it can be fun to watch a three-point barrage for a little while. But if you're not watching Villanova play and you're just watching bricks and bad shots early in the shot clock, and I don't know when this switch flipped. It wasn't Steph Curry. Steph Curry wasn't taking bad shots at Davidson. And a lot of his shots weren't outside the arc even in the NCAA tournament. Jimmer Fredette, maybe. Maybe it was him. I remember Dave Seeger played at Oklahoma in 1988, and he had like 7 threes in an NCAA tournament game, and that was a record at the time. And then we saw sort of a lull in threes. You had like Donald Williams at North Carolina, and you had some of those guys at Duke that were able to shoot pretty well, a couple of guys at UConn that were able to shoot pretty well. Remember Trajan Langdon at Duke? He was another guy. But you would have like one guy that was a three-point specialist that you could kick out to, but it wasn't just pass around until somebody's open for a three and take it. But that's what you're going to see in this tournament. The little guy is going to take down some of the big guys. David will take Goliath down in this tournament, not because of a slingshot, but because of a three-point shot. It is an equalizer, but what it makes for is a lot of misses, a lot of clangs off the iron, and not actually playing what we believe to be basketball. At least what I've seen. And what Steph Curry has done is change what a lot of kids are trying to do in their driveways. Instead of shooting in their own driveway, these guys are now, and girls, are now crossing the street and they're trying to shoot from their neighbor's grass, like 40, 45 footers. We used to do that in gym class from half court as a gimmick. Again, folks, even physiologically, Steph Curry is a unicorn. Teams that play good half-court basketball, a lot of them, if there are any left, they're going to lose because even inefficient high-volume three-point shooting teams are going to be incredibly problematic, and they're going to make for a poor viewing experience. Going to make for chaos. There's going to be a whole lot of shots. There's going to be a whole lot of scoring in stretches, but you're going to see a lot of bad basketball and a whole lot of bricks. I promise you, if there is one bet you can make today and cash on, other than the fact that the officiating is going to be putrid, is that we're about to see a record number of three-pointers shot in this NCAA tournament. Not a record number made, maybe. Maybe so. But a record number shot. And that is not for the better. I miss when basketball felt like a skill rather than a game of horse or a gimmick. 615-737-1045. Big Six rolls along next here on 104.5 The Zone.
It's time to tee it up for Team Hutton 104.5. Olympian Construction presents the inaugural Midday Masters at Topgolf. Thursday, April 4th, teams of six will compete for top prizes, with best overall golfer taking home the Midday Masters green jacket. All proceeds benefit the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Tennessee. To register your team, visit Hutton1045.com. It's the Midday Masters, presented by Olympian Construction. Thursday, April 4th at Topgolf.
Welcome back, Big Six, 104.5 The Zone, Kurt Vile, KV Crimes. If you're looking for this one, saw him at the Ryman on Saturday night, absolutely killed it. If you have not listened to Kurt, you're missing out. Also, you're missing out if you don't take advantage of this. It is the time of year, the mayhem, March Madness. Sign up today to play 104.5 The Zone's Bracket Madness for your chance at $500. Go to 104.5thezone.com. Click on the contest tab to register to play today. Registration deadline Thursday, 11 a.m. So sign up, create that bracket today. Official rules and details at 1045thezone.com/zone-bracket-madness. I'm Jason Martin. This is the Big Six on Twitter at JMartZone. So speaking of zone bracket madness, or just bracket madness, I don't know really what there is to be, what I can say about this. But right now I'm looking up on the flat screen here in the studio, the plush confines of the 104.5 The Zone studios. And I'm looking at the NCAA Women's Selection Special. And it feels like deja vu, because it is deja vu, because this happened 2 hours ago as well. And the reason why, this is when it was supposed to be on. This is just sad and it's really unfortunate. I'm not exactly sure how something like this happens. And I saw some people clamoring on social media for whatever staffer is responsible for it to be fired. Richard Deitch, who's about as good a media critic, sports media critic, as you'll find in the country, works at The Athletic, says, you know, nobody's more sick about this than that guy or that gal that's responsible for this. But it is an unbelievable mistake, but we've all made them. What happened was they came back at around 3:15 Eastern time this afternoon. And they were showing bracketology on ESPNU, rehashing last night's men's bracket. And for whatever reason, graphic on the right side of the screen, while they were talking about the men's tournament, gave out the women's bracket hours before it was supposed to be revealed. Three of the four brackets, I think, and then pretty much all of it. So the whole thing leaked and social media went crazy. I retweeted, I think, the first person that actually caught it and saw it. And once it was shown, people videotaped it, and it was a done deal. This is an incredible mistake to make. But we've all made them. Folks, I once drove more than an hour, almost 2 hours, in the totally wrong direction, trying to get to a state title high school basketball game in 98. We missed the entire game. It was a historic day for my school. They hadn't been there in a while. I graduated the year before. My girlfriend at the time had just graduated the month before. And she foolishly let me drive and kind of fell asleep on the drive. And I didn't end up getting directions until I hit Charlotte. If you know North Carolina geography at all, we were supposed to be right around Durham. And I lived in Winston-Salem. I went completely the wrong direction. Inexplicably so. And that's just one of many mistakes. I could sit here. We could do an entire news show in addition to the Big Six, in addition to the Pop Six. In addition to the Jason Martin Show, I could talk to Brad Willis, the program director of 104.5 The Zone right now, and get a new show in which all I do for 3 hours a night is recap mistakes that I've made in my life. These things happen, but this was bad. And the fact that it has not even been hit harder on social media or otherwise, the idea that they just kind of moved up this selection show because the thing leaked, and that totally ruined these bracket release parties across the country that some schools had set up for their teams and for the fans and for the students. I saw Oregon in particular tweet out a little while ago They said this back at 4:08 p.m. earlier today. Today's selection show watch party has been canceled. ESPN accidentally released the bracket early and is currently airing the selection show now instead. Our apologies to fans who made plays for and plans for tonight's event. That is kind of unreal. And it shows me something. This would not have happened to the men. Even if the bracket had been released early, which I don't think it ever would have happened either, this, running the selection show early, would not have happened. And that is relatively sad. I used to host a show called This Week in Women's Sports here on 104.5 The Zone. I am not exactly a bleeding heart liberal, even though I will tell you, over the past few years, my heart does bleed more than it did a handful of years ago. But what this shows me is that the women's game just doesn't mean all that much to the NCAA or to anybody else. Yeah, it leaked. Right, it leaked. So why bother moving the show? It's already out there before the move. So go ahead and let these folks celebrate. And look, some of them are. Like I said, the show is on now, but it's already aired. Go ahead and let the folks celebrate and go through with their plans. And some of these plans are elaborate. People have worked hard to get these events and venues booked and ready. This is a mistake that's made worse by what I'm going to go ahead and tell you feels like at least it wasn't the men's tournament. People would have cared about that. I'm not a gigantic women's hoops fan. I'm just not, in terms of a viewer. And I've made some dumb jokes, you know, a decade ago about the quality of women's basketball. And I'm sorry for that. But I really respect, and even respected them, what those ladies are doing, how hard they're working, what they put into it, especially when you consider getting to the NBA means a very meager salary. And I mean very meager. This is much more a passion and a labor of love for them. Nobody's clamoring for women's players to be paid. You don't see that anywhere outside of probably a Christine Brennan column. The plight of athletes, that big debate that any lazy radio show can always go to draw phone calls when they don't have actual content. That plight of athletes argument is always for dudes that play revenue-generating sports. And truthfully, that's fair, folks, because they are revenue-generating by definition. But this incident, and more importantly, how it was handled and the decision that was made to just go ahead and move up the selection special shows, I think, a very arguable lack of give-a-crapness about the women's game that does make me feel sympathy for the players and for the coaches and for the former players and former coaches and for the fans and those that do what they can to try and spread awareness for women's basketball. I remember on This Week in Women's Sports, I talked to a lot of very impressive women who had done a lot for their sports or for their schools. Alicia Clark, who was playing overseas, who we know well, who played at Middle Tennessee. She was as impressive an interview as I've ever had. And I talked to her for 30, 40 minutes and just, she taught me so much about what goes into what she does and how much she cares about it and how far the game has come. It was a blessing to get to host that show. Not because I got a little bit of money to do it, but because I gained a new appreciation for the talent and, more importantly, the work ethic of the ladies that are trying to do this and that are giving their all to do this. And they deserve better than what happened today. We'll be right back with Pro and Con here on 104.5 The Zone.
The Wake Up Zone, midday 180 and 3HL. Talking sports with you every day. The Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
Final segment tonight, Big Six, 104.5 The Zone. Yep, still Kurt Vile, Waking on a Pretty Day. Excellent song, just kind of Let It Breathe. Kurt Vile crushed it at the Ryman on Saturday night. We're brought to you by Renter's Warehouse, dedicated to putting homeowners on the path to financial freedom through rent estate. Renting your home without having to do the hard stuff. Renter's Warehouse, the rent estate company. I could just say the pro is Kurt Vile, but I'm going to do something else tonight. Pro and con, something I like, something I hate. And this pro is really cool. And I didn't know how this was going to work, but I got an email a couple of weeks ago from the CEO, creator of a website called Authory.com. That's A-U-T-H-O-R-Y.com. And what all three, and I, you know, I've been thinking about this for the last couple of years. I've written a whole lot of stuff over the past many years in various places. And I was dumb at the time and did not save, you know, Word documents of a lot of this stuff so I would have it. So, you know, eventually maybe that stuff could disappear or something could happen to it. Or if I wanted to go back and collect it or find a specific piece, it would take me just tons of time. I started thinking about just how many weeks it would take me to go and copy and paste all these articles into individual documents and save them and all of those things. And then I got this email a couple of weeks ago from authory.com. And yeah, it's going to cost me a little bit of money if I want to keep it going, but what they've already done for me is mine to keep just in the trial period. And I think I might just keep it going, honestly, because it's kind of a meager deal and it allows something pretty cool for you guys. So this is something I definitely love. And it's today's pro. And it is authory.com/Jason Martin. And I am Jason Martin. I'm on Twitter at JMartZone, by the way. What authory.com does, it's a service with web crawlers that go through and find everything I've ever written. That means for the Sporting Times in Kentucky. That means for previously.tv. That means for SB Nation, for Cage Side Seats, for Outkick the Coverage, and soon probably for 1045zone.com. We're working through some logistics on that right now. The one place you can't get, or one place I can't get back, is ewrestling.com, which I wrote for in the late 90s, because that website's completely gone and all of it's been scrubbed, basically. So I've lost those pieces. So all three over a 48-hour period use these web crawlers and their algorithms and everything, scoured and found everything I wrote, and then sent me my link to my page at authory.com, Jason Martin, where all of it is available in one place. Text without all of the rigmarole, without all of the ads and all the crazy things that might pop up. Just straight up meat and potatoes, all of what you want from me. And links to where you can find them if you want to go originally and find them there. I've written a whole lot of stuff. I didn't realize quite how much. Most of it recently. But me being able to go to one place, and now I have these things backed up as text documents sent to me by authory.com. If you're a writer out there and you've written stuff, you should go to authory.com and try to do this. But I'm so thankful that they sent me this link because, man alive, this is incredibly helpful. And those of you that like my stuff, and many people said, hey, where can we find an archive of your stuff? It can be a little bit more daunting and difficult and taxing for those that are nice enough or just want to see what I've done, what God has blessed me with the ability to do and the places to do it in. It's by his grace that I have a bunch of articles at authory.com that you can read. Certainly not by my own abilities. I appreciate that he has allowed me something I can do with words behind a microphone and on a keyboard. I don't take it for granted, but I also don't take authory.com for granted. This is really cool. So you go to authory.com, authory.com/Jason Martin, and you will see everything I've ever written, except for what was it, e-wrestling. Every TV piece, every sports piece, every wrestling piece, every movie piece, every high school sports piece, everything that I have done, with the exception of a very small handful from a defunct small website, the first place I ever wrote, like well over 400 articles, just right there in one place. And when you first go to the page, a pop-up shows up that says, never miss Jason Martin's next story, regardless of where it is published. You put in your email and they send you a direct link or text of the article directly to your email. So if you want to, quote, subscribe to my written work, you can now do that through authory.com. And to say that that is a pro, a cool little pro here on Pro and Con tonight, would be a massive, massive understatement. It's going to help me out tremendously. And I think it's a great service. If you're a writer out there that has even 50 articles, I think it's worth doing that, especially because you get to keep the backups even if you decide not to keep the service all the way around. So there's a pro, authory.com/Jason Martin. Now, for a con, a guy that has already probably been a con on this station before. Not probably, definitely. I played audio of Chad Withrow taking him down last year. Dan Wolkin is kind of obnoxious, folks. And not just because of Tennessee, but apparently he doesn't like the state of Tennessee either. I read this from the 9th of March. The pundits have picked Belmont as an upset team every time they've been in the tournament. They are 0-7 in that regard. Next tweet. I don't really care who gets in, but Belmont is the hipster coffee shop that doesn't actually make good coffee. And then a few days later, yesterday, Belmont gets in. The college basketball media obsession with Belmont is getting ridiculous. It's a nice program that has come up 0-4 in a lot of at-bats, but gets talked about as if they've reinvented mid-majordom. And then somebody replies and says, love some of this tourney analysis on radio, folks acting like they've seen Belmont play. And Dan Wolken says, the experts, and he's including this guy, who is a verified college basketball writer. He says, the experts always love Belmont. Dan, show me on the doll where Belmont hurt you. I don't understand this. I also don't understand the argument that because they've lost in the past, that this group of guys is also going to lose. This is dumb. History in sports only matters if all of the circumstances are the same. If it's the same team, the same makeup of guys who continually fail in big moments, okay. But Belmont has a new team every year. The one thing that they actually do have going for them that's always there is Rick Bird. And Rick Bird deserves respect. And Rick Bird is getting respect. What did you really want? Another mediocre major conference team to go in there and play mediocre major conference basketball in the NCAA tournament? Why would you need that, Dan Wolken? Why would you need, look, I went to NC State, but why would you need NC State in this tournament? Why would you need Alabama in this tournament? Instead of a Belmont team that would have won the OVC, except for the fact that Murray State has the number 3 pick in the NBA draft and Ja Morant on the floor. Dylan Windler is a tremendous basketball player. They're a well-coached team, and there's just no reason for this argument. Dan Wolken making the history argument only works if this same conglomeration of players had been at Belmont through that entire 0-7 run. Spoiler alert, they have not. So good luck to Belmont in the tournament. Good luck to the Bruins. They deserve to be there, and that's why they are there. It's just absolutely obnoxious. Zion Williamson, things that make you go, on the way out the door. He and Kevin Durant, only guys in the last 20 years to average 25-10 in a conference tournament that played 3 games. Zion Williamson's ridiculous. I still don't think Duke's getting to the Final Four, or if they don't, I will not be surprised because they just don't shoot it well from 3. And if you don't shoot it well from 3, probably not going to win the NCAA tournament. Yeah, they could win it, but we'll see. The Vols have a good shot as well. Vol calls up next. Clear eyes, full hearts. Can't lose. God bless and good night.